Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. We have no idea, because the Bible does not tell us, how many men, both old and young, worked with Paul in extending the borders of the kingdom of God. We know the names of some of the men: Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, Titus, Tychicus, and Onesimus. But others we shall know only when this life is over, and we meet them in the city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11:10. In Colossians 4:10, Paul lists three of his fellow workers in the gospel. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salutes you, and Mark, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you have received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. I shall devote our brief lesson today to Aristarchus. The New Testament mentions Aristarchus four other times, Acts 19:29, 20:4, 27:2, and Philemon 24. The book of Acts tells of Paul's visit to the city of Ephesus. Paul's preaching against the worship of Artemis and other pagan practices angered the Ephesians. They cried out, "Great is Diana, or Artemis of the Ephesians." And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. Acts 19:28-29. After the uproar at Ephesus had ceased, Paul embraced the disciples and departed for Macedonia. Aristarchus, a Thessalonian, was one of the men who accompanied him into Asia, Acts 20:1-4. Toward the end of Paul's missionary work, he was carried to Rome for trial and imprisonment. The guards, Paul and other prisoners, entered into a ship. There were other prisoners aboard the ship, but only Aristarchus is mentioned by name, Acts 27:2. Paul's letter to Philemon includes salutations from Epaphras, another of Paul's fellow prisoners, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, all of whom were Paul's fellow laborers, Philemon 24. These are the facts the New Testament gives us about Aristarchus. What can we learn from what those facts reveal about the man? Being a prisoner for whatever reason has never been pleasant, but being imprisoned for preaching Jesus Christ, while very unpleasant, is a great honor. It demonstrates that Aristarchus and his fellow Christian prisoners were unwilling to compromise their convictions to stay out of jail or to be released from jail. What a tremendous example of dedication and faithfulness. There is hardly any doubt that Aristarchus knew about the infamous prisons in the Roman Empire. They were not like our modern prisons, where the inmates have access to television, to exercise equipment, and to good psychiatric care. Many of the prisons were in dungeons and were unlighted, unheated, and rat-infested. Imagine having to live where it is cold, damp, dark, and inhabited by vermin of all sorts. And yet faithful Christians like Aristarchus did not shrink from declaring the whole counsel of God, knowing that their preaching could lead to a Roman prison. Most of us live in luxury in the United States. We're not usually imprisoned or even persecuted for our faith. But millions of men and women who call themselves Christians make little or no effort to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not afraid of governmental authorities and have no reason to be. We lack the commitment Paul and his companions exhibited. Do we honestly believe we can please God and win others to Christ by such indifference? I close with these words of encouragement from Peter's second epistle. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, that is, add the Christian graces, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 1:10-11. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.